Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. I'm excited to be joined tonight by Dave from the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to be doing the show.
Yeah, me too. It's always fun, isn't it?
It is always fun. And for me, it's the fun that comes from being required to show up.
Yep.
And conditioning wouldn't label it as fun. And, you know, me, whoever that real me is, really feels supported when I make that kind of commitment.
Yeah, same here. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Pretty much everything we do, I think, probably falls under that category.
Uh-huh. Can you say more about that?
Well, just I think everything, you know, all of the retreats that we offer, you know, the radio show, the email classes, all of the, you know, the reflective listening buddies, you know, all the different forms of support are out there are basically for that very reason, to give us something to show up for, you know, because conditioning is just such a powerful force in so many people's lives. And we have to, we kind of get together to create something more powerful that we can sort of rely on to help carry us through towards this place of freedom and possibility that we're looking for.
Yes, beautifully stated. Thank you. Dave, today we're going to talk a little bit about some exciting work that you've been involved with at the monastery and the physical results of that.
Yeah, I think we're going to talk about the physical aspects, and I don't actually know if we've talked about that very much before, but it's a big part of our lives here at the monastery. There's some of us are spend a lot of time doing sort of administrative work, keeping the whole organization going. Other folks spend a lot of their time working outside doing various physical tasks. And a couple times a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays when we're not on retreat, we all get to go outside and just see what we can do, you know, see what we can kind of accomplish. Because, you know, we've got 320 acres here. We've got all kinds of buildings. We've got a homemade electrical and communication system. We've got a homemade power system. So there's a lot to work on and a lot to kind of come together to try to accomplish.
Yes, a lot of systems, sounds like physical systems, to support all the ways that we do spiritual practice.
Exactly, yeah. We've got all the accommodations that we're trying to keep up for people to stay in. We've got the offices that we work in. You know, a lot of our industry goes into the food because, of course, we're a community. You know, we live here together all the time, so we have to feed ourselves. We have to keep the place clean. So it really is. It's like living in a little tiny city, you know, where you have all the different sort of components. And because we're off the grid and do have so much of this that we've created on our own, it's like, you know, we're the utility company, we're the contractors who repair everything, we're the builders, we're kind of everything all wrapped up in one.
Yes, yes. Something goes out and you call it yourself to go fix it.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so and it's fun, too, because we all get to wear different hats. You know, sometimes we're sitting in front of a computer, sometimes, you know, we got the old tool belt on and we're out there pounding nails. So it really makes for a... But to me, it makes for a really fun life because you never know what's going to be the next thing. And you're always, it's kind of like what you're saying before, you've always got to show up. So here's the next thing that kind of rolls through that needs to be attended to, and then we can jump in and take care of that.
Great. And I was wondering if you wanted to talk a little more about some of the specific accomplishments that have been done recently.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely. One of the really fun things that's happened for us is we got involved with, there's a local contractor here who's really interested in, you know, green building and stuff, and he does a lot of work for people. He's like a remodeling sort of a guy.
Yeah.
And so he's tearing down stuff a lot to rebuild it. And he said, hey, you know, we sort of got to know him a little bit. He said, hey, I got all this stuff that piles up when I tear these buildings down. You want some? And we said, boy, you betcha. I think we might have talked already on another show about the roof that we got from them. It's a beautiful tile roof that came off a building. But we also got a big pile of lumber, and we got a bunch of windows. And so, you know, these are free windows. All we had to do was go pick them up after they had taken them out of the building they were working on.
Wow.
We went and got them, not knowing really what we'd use them for. And then, you know, like things go, pretty soon it became clear what would be a good use. And what we did is we took them, and we've had these three buildings that for years – have been a little bit of a thorn in our side because they were built without windows, and we put plastic up around in the wintertime to keep the cold out. And so one of them is a meditation hut, which, you know, a lot of people on the call, I'm sure, are familiar with and have, you know, spent some time in. And there's two hermitages on the property that are like that too. So we took these windows, and we had to do some really clever kind of carpentry to get them in, because, of course, they weren't, nothing in the building was built to accommodate these windows. But we put up, and I think they look fantastic. And, you know, we trimmed them in and, you know, put siding up around them and painted them. And so we've got these buildings now where you can open and shut the windows, and we don't have to use plastic anymore. And it just kind of just has a feel of good, you know, like an upgrade. It just feels good to look at it and to know that, you know, we put that kind of care into those buildings.
Yes, yes. I'm very excited about that, particularly the meditation hut, which I knew in its now former state, and I can't wait to see it in the new condition.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a tour. Another thing that we've been working on, we put a lot of energy recently into our solar system. We had some solar panels around that we bought for something else, for these coolers that we have, these swamp coolers we use in the summer to keep the place cool. And we weren't, you know, it wasn't really working the way we had it set up, and we decided a number of months ago to go ahead and hook them into our main system. So we bought a new charge controller, and we built some frames out of wood to mount these panels on. We actually put little wheels on them, casters on the bottom, so you can rotate them to follow the sun. And we hooked those up, and it's made a huge difference in our electrical system. You know, we've kind of been limping along for a little while, because as the place has expanded and our need for electricity has grown, we've kind of become more and more in a situation where we're having a deficit, and we're not being able to generate the kind of electricity that we wanted to. But now we really are. You know, on sunny days, it's really amazing. Instead of just barely making it, and sometimes not making it and having to run the generator and burn fuel in order to keep up,
yes,
when it's sunny out these days, it's you know, we're really bringing in everything we need, which is a really fun and exciting thing, especially in these times that we're in, where, you know, it's just that's the kind of thing to do right now.
Yes.
To not burn fuel, not spend money, and instead be able to really provide what we need on our own.
Yes, that's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So I know almost nothing about solar other than it comes from the sun. And I'm guessing there's some kind of battery pack that gets charged when the sun is out, and then when there's no sun, it's drawn down.
That's right. Yeah, we have batteries that store the electricity. There's a lot of components to it. As a matter of fact, one of the big things, this is actually my very favorite thing that we've done recently, is we have one of the pieces of the system is called an inverter, and it's the thing that changes the direct current electricity, which is the kind of electricity that comes off the solar panels and out of the batteries, into alternating current, which is the kind that runs through the wires in your house and runs all your appliances and stuff.
Oh, I see.
And so we have these inverters, and that's their job. And they're very expensive, high-tech things that you have to have in order to have a power system like ours.
I see.
And recently, one of them, we have two. One of them powers half the monastery. One of them powers the other half. One of them died. And it was kind of dramatic, because I was not here. I was in North Carolina on retreat. The thing quit working. And we had I think it quit working like on maybe Monday or Tuesday, and we had a big retreat starting on Saturday, and so suddenly we have no electricity to half the monastery.
Wow.
So this big, you know, this big scramble happened. The monks who were here actually went without light in the dining hall and several other kind of key places for 4 or 5 days.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's one of those things when you look back, it was really fun. At the time, it was also fun at the time, but it was a different kind of fun. So we managed to, we have this guy who sort of supports us with our solar stuff on a technical way. He happened to have a used inverter, which saved us a bundle of money. We had to drive 5 hours to get it, so we sent somebody out to get it and brought it back. I came back from the East Coast. We had 2 days to put it together. You know, it was just one of those high action, big excitement kind of things. And just in the 11th hour, we finally managed to get it all together just
wow.
in time to turn it on for the retreat.
Wow.
It was one of those where, you know, you kind of knew all along that it was going to work, but you couldn't really see how it was going to work until it actually came down to the wire. And, you know, we flipped the switch and all the lights came on, and we're like, phew, because meanwhile, you know, here's these people. They're actually in the van on the way to the monastery when that happened.
Wow. Yes, and I suspect people on the retreat knew nothing about it unless it came up in group.
Yeah, no, they really didn't. But, you know, it's part of our life here. It's one of the things I actually enjoy most about it. I mean, I love technical kinds of things like that. I love learning about it, and I love working on it. And, you know, it's really different from, you know, you live in a house where you've got this power that comes in. You just, you know, write a check to the power company. you know, it's we generate our power from the sun, so we have to pay attention to everything that we do and all the electricity that we use.
Yes.
And if something breaks, we have to rely on ourselves to fix it. And there's something that feels really satisfying about that, especially in this world that we live in now, where so much of what happens is really kind of, we don't know about it, and it's happening way off in the distance, and we really don't feel like we're in touch with what's actually going on in our lives.
Yes.
In a physical way.
Yes, yes, definitely. It's like a direct connection to the resources that are supporting me.
Yep, that's true. And we've got lots of big plans for the future. We've got building projects we're doing. Tomorrow's one of our big work days, and we've got a long list. Tomorrow we're actually going to focus on lots of little odds and ends that have kind of got left behind. There's also a couple of technical things we have to do to our power system. So that's our focus tomorrow. But then, you know, you look off into the future, you know, we've got plans for a meditation hall. We've got several buildings that are half built. We're talking about gardening, you know, beginning to kind of revitalize our garden, which has slipped a little bit in the past little while. And we've even, this is kind of getting way out there, but we've been having conversations about chickens.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe bringing some chickens, having the ability to raise some of our own eggs. So that's something exciting we might look forward to in the future.
That's very exciting. And the word that comes to mind as you talk about all that is practice supporting practice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really true. I'm glad you brought that element into it, because that's really what it is. You know, we have several monks who are relatively new to monastic life here who are, you know, of course, are a big part of all of this and a big part of the labor that makes everything possible that's happening. So, you know, the work we're doing is part of their training. It's part of our training. And then it's also part of what we can offer to the world, because, of course, without this kind of physical work, then we have no place for people to come to take refuge in the practice and really, you know, see the difference that can make in their lives. So it's just one of the things, like so much else in practice, it seems like it's one of those things where for every angle you look at it from, it makes sense, you know, and it
yes.
works. And
yeah.
It's just to live in the middle of something like that is really, it's really quite a privilege and something I'm very grateful for myself.
And I'm very grateful for you joining us here tonight.
And myself also. I'll look forward to the rest of the show.
Great. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Michael.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael. That was quite delightful.
Oh, great.
You know, one of the things that I like best in the conversation that you two just had was, you know, you connecting the practice thing. Dave talking about that, and then making the connection that without all of this, and it's so fun to just be sitting listening to it, because sometimes I lose sight of how much happens at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. But that without this, there would be no refuge for us. There would be, the way Dave phrased it was for people to come, no refuge for people to come to. And just that realization that that's exactly what it is. It's a refuge. And that kind of intimate connection with life, the involvement with everything, the direct involvement with everything that comes to us and everything that supports us, and that sense of honoring all of it, taking such good care of what we've been given as a way of saying thank you for all of it. It was very lovely. So thank you both.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's a great privilege and pleasure, as you know, to engage in these conversations. Sherry, we have a stack of callers here.
Good. Let's ask them what's going on.
Yay. First caller, you are now live on the air. And could you please introduce yourself? First caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Sorry, I couldn't hear anything for a minute.
Well, here we are now. What's going
okay.
on? Well, first of all, Michael didn't get a chance to ask you to introduce yourself.
Oh, okay. My name is Rebecca.
Hi,
and
Rebecca.
I live in Austin, Texas.
All right. Well, what's going on with you in Austin, Texas?
Well, I guess my issue is that I became involved in the practice about a year ago, maybe a little bit more than a year ago. And for the first few months, was working very well for me, and I was doing well with maintaining my practice and everything. And I think part of it was because I kind of came to it, probably this has happened to other people too, because I was going through a very, very difficult time personally. You know,
that's how most people get here.
Right. And so, you know, I had those first few months were really, really very transformative for me, and I felt very grateful to have come to this practice, and it helped so much, and I started to see things differently, and then I started to feel much better, and then I sort of started to fall off a little bit.
Yes, indeed.
Because, you know, that I didn't feel so like I needed it so much, but, you know, at the same time, I understood intellectually, no, this is, you know, you need to keep going, but I didn't, you know.
That's
I really
right.
fell off.
Yep, that puts you right in the same club with everyone else who's ever started practice.
Oh, well, good. That's a good club, I guess.
Yep.
And then, so I guess probably not shocking, things, my life started to become more difficult again. And
isn't it amazing how that works?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I am now. And what I've noticed that what I'm doing at this point is everything in the world possible to avoid doing my practice again, even though I'm kind of in a situation where I recognize that things have become difficult again. I'm struggling again emotionally, feeling a little trapped for my job, my personal life, and I would really like to get back to it, but I'm making all of these excuses, and some of them are kind of good, like I've started doing some kind of volunteer work and things like that. You
some
know?
Of them you almost believe.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Oh, well,
May I at this
yes.
point? Because I think I understand the story.
Okay.
So what happens to us is that because we don't actually understand the force that conditioning is in our lives, it takes a very, very, very long time to really get what it is and what it's doing. And so what conditioning makes us believe is that we should do awareness practice in order to feel better. But when we feel better, there's no need to do it. Okay? Now, that puts it right in the same arena with everything else that takes care of us. So, for instance, if you had food or eating issues, you would go way out there, maybe eating too much sugar, or drinking too much caffeine or alcohol or whatever it is. And you would go as far out there as you could get until you were completely miserable. Then you would decide that it's time to do something about it. You would do something about it until you felt better, and conditioning would kick in and say, okay, now, and it probably wouldn't say it in so many words, but suddenly you'd realize that, you know, you're drinking more caffeine or you're eating more sugar or whatever it is, and you go back out there again. Now, after a while, and it takes most people at least one lifetime to figure out that that's a process, that that's going on. And, of course, the part that makes it so difficult for people is there's a belief that conditioning puts forth that it should be different, you should be different, and the fact that this is going on proves that there's something wrong with you. But if you stay with awareness practice, what you'll get is, ah, okay, that's just how it works. It's not personal. It doesn't actually have anything to do with me. This is the plight of conditioned humans. Now, your work is to see how that happens, okay, how what the voices say, how you get talked into it, how you get lulled to sleep, how you get complacent, how you get distracted, all of that, how that happens so that you can avoid those pitfalls.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's as it truly is as simple and straightforward as that. So there's an image that I use in some book. I don't know what it is. But it's about, you know, so you wake up in the morning and something is missing from your house. You know, your TV is missing. And you live alone and all the doors are locked and the windows are locked and clearly nobody has broken in. And, you know, and so this goes on and on. Every day you get up and there's some other major thing that's missing from your house. And after you go through fear and guilt and blame and beatings and all of that, one day it's going to occur to you that what you need to do is sit up all night in the dark and see how it's happening. You with me?
I am.
Yep.
So I guess where I am right now is, like, that makes sense. Yes, that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
I like to do that. And then, you know, when it comes time to, like, sit up all night and do that, like, okay, I've been thinking all day, that's what I'm going to do tonight. And then it gets to that point, and it's like, oh, no, absolutely not. You need to go to bed right now. Like,
that's
I don't know where that's
but
coming.
That's all part of it. You see, that's what you're seeing. What you're seeing is what keeps you from freedom and happiness. That's what you're seeing. So the voice kicks in and says, oh, no, you're much too tired. You need to go to sleep. And you believe it, and you do that. Then the voice beats you up in the morning for not having sat up all night. Okay? And then you go, okay, all right, I'm not going to fall for that one anymore. And then it hits you with, but you're too busy. You have this stuff that you really need to do. Or you need to go visit a friend. Or you need to water all the plants. Or you need to shampoo the dog. Or you need to whatever it is. And you chart this. You keep track of it until finally you have heard it all. And not only have you heard it all, you've fallen for it all. And you get to the point where you cannot be fooled again. And what will make that happen is not that you're going to get to cruise control, which is what conditioning says is the goal of awareness practice. You get to a place where all the lights come on and then you get to go to sleep. Okay, then everything is just easy and automatic and you're enlightened and you never have to pay attention again. No, what you actually get is there are no breaks. You've got to be paying attention and you've got to be present every moment of every day for the rest of your life. And you know what? It'll be the best news you ever got.
Okay.
All right. Now,
all right.
The last point of encouragement, I hope this has all been encouraging for you.
Yes.
The last point of encouragement, don't try to do it alone. Get thee to Sangha. Okay? Find all of the support that you can get for paying attention. Yeah? Avail yourself. Turn your attention as much and as often as you can to being in situations and being with people who support you in leaving conditioning, waking up, ending suffering.
Is it possible, how do you know when you found the right, when that's the right song, huh?
Well,
is that a valid question?
Yeah, it is. And this is my little spiel on that. When you find a sangha that it feels like you really get, you know, it feels like it supports you, it feels like good practice, you don't get queasy feelings about what people are doing or, you know, that sort of thing. Now, so that's in the beginning, okay? So it feels like, yeah, this is good. These people are really practicing. You know, in other words, they don't try to get you to join a committee that is going to sue to take over the center or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, nobody hits on you when you come to meditation.
Mm-hmm.
These are good things. People don't ask you to go out drinking and dancing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not talking about real subtle things here. And so you kind of settle in and you sit with them and it, you know, and your practice is growing and deepening and you feel supported in that. Then that's the courtship phase. Okay, at some point you'll decide that you're ready to make a commitment to that particular path and way of practicing. And then you will do that. And then you will, it'll be like getting married. And once that happens, then, as you know, it can be a steady downhill from there if we're not really, really careful. In other words, conditioning is going to get threatened. All of the, there'll be suspicion and projection and, you know, well, I think this and that, and those people are there, and they're just trying to, and it'll kick up just a firestorm of stuff designed to get you to quit practicing. And so it's, that's why people make commitments in relationships, so that when things start getting difficult, they remember that they're committed and that what they agreed to do is stick and work on it rather than just cut and run. And so it'll be like that.
Well, I feel like I'm asking a lot of questions. But
that's okay. Well, this is enough for now. So you'll go practice with all of that, and then you'll get back in touch. How about that?
All right.
And Rebecca, did you get the email about the support group through the month of December?
Yes.
Okay. That's a, you know, that kind of thing is a good thing to plug into.
All right.
Good. Stay in touch.
All right.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
Good.
Okay, next caller, you are now live.
I think our next caller is calling from outer space somewhere.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, I made it. Hi, this is Chris in Seattle.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
What's going on?
Well, it's funny. I just got in the door. I usually can't call on Tuesdays because I'm working, but I was going to get off a little bit early, and so I called my wife and had her call in and wait.
Oh, good.
And then I just came in the door and grabbed the phone, and the previous call just ended. So
here we are.
Here we are.
Good.
Yeah, it's funny. Talked to you a couple months ago. I was planning on calling every 6 weeks on my day off, and then the next time that was that day, I don't know, October, when the show didn't work.
Oh.
And then 6 weeks after that was Veterans Day, which I actually had off, but I totally forgot. And then so I thought, well, today's unusually light, and I could get home anyway.
Good. Catch your breath and.
Yeah, it's funny. Yes, I'm not even sure if I have a question or anything, but I hadn't been able to call in a couple times. So yesterday was pretty cool. I was listening to last week's show yesterday, and Jen was doing the good news updates about the parenting and the parents and kids for Africa.
Yes.
And my first response was, more fundraising. Oh my, you know, I have to make my kids fundraisers. And so I stayed with that for a few minutes, well, for the remainder of her portion of it, and I was kind of mired in that. But interestingly enough, that moved on into feelings of, I had a strong reaction to that. What does that mean? I noodled that for a while, but then listening to the show, the first caller said something about how her conditioning was picking, trying to find something to bugger about, and that was resonated with me. And then actually the commercial for the Zen Blues Quartet, and he's donating 20% of the revenues for the radio show and for Living Compassion because of all the good work they do. And I found myself thinking, yeah, they do a lot of good work. And then I was on the other side thinking, yeah, what could I do with my kids? And then it occurred to me that what I came up with is that it doesn't matter. I mean, whether I have a reaction to some form of input, it didn't matter. The conditioning just took it and ran with it and made it, noodling it around, but and wondering, well, gee, how am I going to get past this, and what do I have to do to, you know, get over this? But, and really, I don't have to do anything to get over anything because it doesn't matter.
Yes.
That's the conclusion I came to.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you know, the kind of overarching notion behind this, is that conditioning wants all of our attention all the time for it. And it really resents, deeply, deeply resents, giving any of, in this case, your attention to something that's going to bring you back to center. In fact, mm-hmm. more than resent it, it has kind of a violent objection to it. Because if you're focused, if you have your attention focused on, in this case, with that project that Jen was talking about, mm-hmm. You're working with your children to help them have a broader view of life and the, you know, kind of the situation, the plight of other children around the world who are less fortunate, to interest them in that, to develop an idea of sharing and service and giving and to find the joy and the fun in giving instead of just always getting. Mm-hmm. That's hugely threatening to egocentric karmic conditioning, that whole process. And so for it to come up with a reaction that you might buy into and give your attention to it instead, that's what it's angling for all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's good to see it.
It was. And it was just so funny how I ended up on both sides of it within about 15 minutes
exactly.
or so. And then, wait a second.
Yeah.
I'm being had.
Exactly. And that's what that really is the heart and soul of practice, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We're just seeing over, okay, it's what I was talking about with Rebecca. You know, okay, oh, well, you weren't there for that. But anyway, the
no.
previous caller. You know, oh, well, that's how it does it in that situation. Okay, well, that's how it gets me in that situation. Ah, okay, it fooled me again. All right, okay, I can see that. And of course, those kinds of extreme reactions that we have are what can catch our attention. You know, it's
yeah.
like, oh, come on. You know, somebody, you know, pulls out in front of me in traffic and, you know, I hear this voice just start going crazy. It's like, what's that about? You know, what we're conditioned to do is just go with it. Yeah, they're this way and that way and poor me and this shouldn't be and it's so wrong. And, of course, my life force is just being siphoned off and given to conditioning.
Uh-huh.
But when we start catching on that, well, that's interesting. Why is somebody so worked up about that? We're automatically and immediately disidentifying, and we
mm-hmm.
get to see another way that conditioning does it to us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think I've taken the email class, and I forgot to put in my email last time about that I would not be able to do the class, the call in, because I was at work, and of course Dave called on me, which I heard several days later listening to the thing. That was kind of funny, but.
But
anyway.
It's nice, wasn't it? Wasn't it nice anyway?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you weren't there at that time, but you listened to the call later and
uh-huh.
feel a part of the whole thing, even though you weren't there initially to participate in it.
Uh-huh.
Very Sangha sort of a thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I really have a question other than what I just shared, so I'll move on.
Okay. Well, that's great.
And I've got another day off coming up in about, I think, 4 weeks. So.
Excellent.
Four weeks.
Look
I'll have another
hearing
Tuesday.
From you then.
Look forward to calling.
All right.
All right.
Thanks.
Chris.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Chris.
You
Sherry,
know,
I love when people make commitments to.
I know. That's what. That's exactly what I was going to say, Michael. Yeah, it's like, you know, the thing that we always encourage people about: find a sitting group, make a commitment, show up whether you want to or not, and that kind of thing, that making that kind of commitment. This is, you know, this is when my day off is. This is when I can call in the show. I'm going to call in. I'm going to share what's going on with me, which is what Sangha is all about.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's fun, too, you know, when there's that drama or excitement and just coming in the door and out of breath. And
yeah.
It's great.
It is. Yeah. Because it's showing up for one another.
Yeah.
No, it somebody was talking about it today. I don't know who, but they were quoting my teacher saying, you know, you'll do for the love of others what you wouldn't be willing to do for yourself. And that's just it. You know, that's the beauty of the Parents and Kids for Kids. You know, we will make an effort to help our children have a different, we hope, more expansive and joyful orientation to life than we were given when we were little, we'll make that effort for them in a way that we wouldn't make the effort for ourselves today. And that's good. It, you know, whatever it takes. But that showing up for one another is Sangha.
Yes, yes. Wonderful. Gary, we're going to pause here for a sponsor ad, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Zen Blues Quartet is a collaborative music project celebrating life and the music of the blues.
From now until December 31st, Zen Blues Quartet will be donating 20% of all revenues generated from CD sales to Living Compassion and Open Air Talk Radio. This music project exists because we learned that how you do anything is how you do everything. So we get to make great music, you get to listen to great music, and together we can support the fantastic works of Living Compassion.
Zen Blues Quartet is proud to sponsor Open Air Talk Radio with Sherry Huber, as we firmly believe that the quality of your life is dependent on the focus of your attention.
What a life, what a life, my mind. What a life, what a life, what a life.
Please visit us at www.zenbluesmusic.com for more information about our project.
I sure do love it. I sure.
Sherry, we are struggling a little bit with our sponsor ads here.
Thank goodness our sponsors are such patient people.
Yes, yes.
I hope everybody will go visit them in spite of us.
Yes.
If they were depending on us for their livelihood, I tell you, they would have starved by now.
Yes, yes. And I'm going to mention them here.
Good.
Their website. Porchdog Software, and the website is porchdogsoft.com. And let me find the other one here, is the Zen Blues Quartet. And we're excited because the Zen Blues Quartet is offering 20% of their CD sales through the end of the year to Living Compassion.
Yes, so whatever it is, whether people need something, some software, something, or they need some music.
Yes.
Go visit those two websites.
And the Zen Blues website. Yes. And the Zen Blues website is zenbluesmusic.com.
Well, I know you struggle. You work so hard to make it work, and it just seems beyond us, doesn't it?
It's really interesting because what I've noticed about it, these technical things, which are pretty vague, it seems, the problems and the subtleties of them, and it really requires, just like practice, to just show up and keep participating and say, you know I've asked you this question before and I'm still getting the same result. And then, you know, occasionally you get a little nugget and you get a little opening and there's just a little bit of light there.
Yeah, and probably the biggest thing that we're getting out of it is, as you say, the willingness to just keep showing up, keep being patient, keep being kind, being willing and open to whatever it is that is going on. That's the transformative aspect. And then once in a while, the show works really well. Kind of icing on the cake.
Yes, yes. I suspect we'll get there eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, we have four more callers here.
All right.
Okay, next call. You are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry Michael. It's Kieran. I called you 2 weeks ago looking for some help with the slaying of voices, and I promised to call you back in 2 weeks.
That's right.
And here I am.
All right. Well, what has happened?
Well, it's certainly been a lot of my pencils, all the different colors, writing for a couple of days, and then really the voices went underground. I just kept it to practice anyways, and now they're showing up in really subtle ways that are same voice, totally different outfit kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And I had one, like, in the middle of the night being up and then going, wait a minute, I just got an email from the class reminding me about I must be in conditioning because I have a problem and it's the middle of the night. Stopping and getting down and not being able to find it and writing, and then going, wait, I see the pattern. Wait, there's a pattern. 5 a.m., oh, it's the victim rising its head again, but I've never seen it in this coat before.
Uh-huh.
So it's a, I mean, I think that it's just incredibly liberating to realize that I don't have to start a business and I don't have to make my life happen, that I can just, if the whole energy is focused on just my spiritual, which is life, practice, and all I'm doing is seeing karma, it makes it way, way more liberating and fun.
Yeah. You know, what you're saying is so important. Now, there's much of the world, most of the world, almost all of the world, would not see that perspective and wouldn't understand it and wouldn't value that. You know, what matters is making life happen the way you want life to happen. And if you're the right person doing the right thing, then you'll get what you want and you'll make it happen. And if not, then it's your fault and there's something wrong. But we are spiritual types. And so what we actually value is seeing through those belief systems of suffering and finding freedom within this structure that we find ourselves in. So as a Buddhist, you know, we could speculate that it has been countless lifetimes of people struggling through all kinds of karma in order to get to the place where you are now, where you are able to see that the most important thing for you to devote your life to is liberation. Starting a business is not that hard when you compare it to finding liberation. Making a lot of money is not that hard compared to finding liberation. Yeah? So you have, the Buddha pointed out, you have the intelligence, the awareness, the ability, the willingness, the opportunity. You have everything that you need to free yourself from suffering in this lifetime. Or you could let all of that pass and devote yourself to starting a business and making a lot of money and getting old and dying. Never satisfied. Now, of course, conditioning.
Well, it's kind of what's so brilliant, really, in a way, is that life is actually very much aligned that I'm here for liberation. I couldn't choose the other path at all. It wouldn't, because one
sees very lucky.
The suffering.
You're very lucky. You couldn't make it happen.
I couldn't, exactly. It just won't, exactly. It won't go into gear. It's totally. But I'm still needing this reminder so strongly that this is what you're here for.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
the current is so strong to, you know, have a business and whatever, have a mortgage and have, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever.
X number of children and...
Equals worth, equals... I mean, it's just a incredibly painful but potent, potent current.
And the really fun part of it is that having as your primary focus liberation doesn't mean you won't have any or all of those other things.
Does it have to suffer?
That's right. Having those things will serve your practice instead of having those things instead of your practice.
Except that what I keep seeing or what's really happened in the last 2 weeks is when you write the voices down, you're no longer in relationship to them, you're in a very empty space.
Yes.
In
free,
which you
like
have no control.
Free.
Or free, exactly.
Yeah.
But there's this immense need to surrender. You have no control. There's such a clarity that if it's not personally my fault, if it's neutral, as you were saying, then I have no control in this complete needing to surrender process that happens of like, I don't know where this train is going. You know, like, I don't know if I'm going to get a business. I don't know if I'm going to get that mortgage, those kids. No idea.
So, again, this is a place I always get to at this point. Christians have the best line for it, okay? Jesus, I guess, was the one who said it. Not my will, but thy will be done.
It's so yesterday and all day today, it's this laughing. That's all that's been echoing is this mantra of thy will be done, but then this laughter behind it, because as if there was any other will anyway. Like, you know, it's like this hilarious kind of...
Yeah, yeah. Let's see, it's either your will or mine. Let's see, let me choose here. Yeah.
It kind of almost feels like, though, that those children's stories of Brer Rabbit, of this rabbit saying, don't throw me in the briar patch, don't throw me in the briar patch, but the briar patch is actually his home.
Uh-huh.
It's actually his coziest, best place. And so that's what this thing, thy will be done, and there's this, no, my will, like, I'm going to start a business, I'm going to... And then this hilarious needing to surrender feels very much like surrender to thy will, but what is thy will if it's not really my home?
Yeah, it's just going home.
It's so hard. It is. It takes everything.
No, it's
everything.
Not. No, it's
sometimes
not.
It feels that way.
Sometimes it feels like that when we're identified. But you cannot sit there. Are you sitting or standing?
Sitting.
You cannot sit there and produce a report like that for us and then say it's hard. Okay? Resisting it was hard. But as you say, coming home, whew, you know, that's like just tipping over backwards into the softest feather bed that you can possibly imagine.
So what I'm saying when I say it's what I'm feeling then is that resistance of all the resistance.
And you see, it wants to come in and make it hard. It wants to, okay, all right, okay, fine. You've had this great moment of expansiveness and letting go and all of that. But don't forget, what you're doing is hard. And once you open to that, once you entertain that description for what's going on, it's like a wedge that comes in, and now it's got an opening, and it's going to start making a case for how this is hard, and then it's going to start telling you what you're having to give up and what other people have that you're not going to have and how really kind of sad it is that...
Yes.
Can you picture it?
How isolated. Yeah, it's been doing it for 2 weeks, yes. Yeah,
yep.
Totally.
Yep, yeah. So...
Those are the other clothes I was talking about. The voices come in these other clothes.
Exactly.
I'm not used to them, and I get hooked in for
a
while.
Right. That's right. That's why you talk to me, because I recognize their outfits.
Yes. I'm so grateful for this. I know how much work both you and Michael do to make this happen every week, and I am sure I'm echoing thousands of people to say we are so grateful for the effort you put forward.
Well, thank you.
Totally grateful.
Thank you. And as we were saying about Chris a few minutes ago, you know, it's all of us showing up for one another that makes the magic. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for doing the work. Thank you for your devotion to your practice. Thank you for sticking with it until you have this kind of breakthrough that is inspiring for all of us. And that's the kind of thing, you know, we get together, we talk about it when it's really hard, and it's important that we get together and we talk about the breakthroughs and the expansiveness and the freedom and the joy and what's there on the other side of all that conditioned suffering. So we appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Stay in touch. Huh?
Okay. Much love. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Kieran. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, it's a great show.
Yeah.
Great people.
Great people, great practice.
And we have three more in the queue here.
Right.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Angela in South Korea.
Hello, Angela. I'm always stunned by, it sounds like you're, sitting next to me.
I know. It's the wonder of,
it's
modern technology.
Wonderful time to be alive. What's going on this morning?
Yes.
In South Korea?
Yes. Well, first of all, I just wanted to update you. I phoned about my work situation about
mm-hmm.
a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you, before the waterman came to the door and the dog
little
started
dog
barking.
Went crazy.
You recommended that I write some mantras for myself
mm-hmm.
and to think of them as what the Buddha would say to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that, and it was very helpful. It sort of dug me out of being overwhelmed and confused. And
don't you just love it that you know what the Buddha would say to you? Don't you love that?
Yes, I totally love that. It really circumvented a lot of, potential, arguments with conditioning, because, the Buddha was saying it to me.
That's right. It's not like I'm saying it. The Buddha is saying it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that made a big difference. And I spent a lot of time doing beautiful small posters and putting them on my walls. And so what happened as a result of that was that I more or less embraced my work and am really experiencing it as a challenge and as that I'm up to it and so
excited about it.
Yeah. I have gotten really excited about it and realizing that teaching writing in Korea is actually at the forefront of, what's happening here now, and I'm right in the middle of learning how to do that.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a gift.
Yeah.
For you, for your students, for everybody. What a contribution.
Yeah, it's very exciting,
mm-hmm.
very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's led to seeing, it seems to be, I'm embarrassed about talking about this because conditioning says that I should get along with everyone. I should be able to get along with everyone.
And if it weren't for conditioning, you would be able to.
That's exactly right. Yes.
It
so
never
I,
says that, though, does
no,
it?
No, it does, never does mention that. Never mentions that. This person I work with, there are only three foreign teachers in this department, and he's one of them. And Yeah, I just actually don't even know what to say when it comes to another person seemingly being a reason for me to leave a job or...
Can you give just a touch of content? I mean, what's the deal? What's the problem?
Well, I have a list of about 20 words that I have used.
And you project onto him?
That I project onto him.
Uh-huh. Can you give us the top three?
Okay, top three. Abusive, verbally.
This is not a boss. This is just a coworker.
No. Yeah, he is a coordinator, but that's kind of just, it's a little bit of a title, but not so much, really.
Mm-hmm.
He's worked in Korean universities for 7 years, which is 6 years longer than me.
Mm-hmm.
So he does interact with our bosses on our behalf somewhat. But,
uh-huh.
Yeah. But he really, and he gets paid more. But, you know, in this situation, he really doesn't have any power over
uh-huh.
me. Not really.
Mm-hmm. So he just abuses you kind of for the fun of it.
I don't know why he does. I, of course, conditioning tells me it's my fault that I've done something wrong.
Uh-huh.
And that I've triggered something. Said something in the wrong way, said the wrong thing.
Okay, so you're making it about you. What are the next two qualities?
He uses information I've given him against me.
Okay. And you've stopped giving him information, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the next one?
The next one, what's so weird is when I try to talk about this, it's just, I go blank. It's almost like no one is, it's almost, I don't know.
You mean if you tried to talk about it with somebody else, they don't get what you're talking about?
Well, that's often the case, yes.
Uh-huh.
That's often the case, but even now, it's what I'm hearing is you just need to work this out yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we know where that comes from, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you want an assignment?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was an enthusiastic yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing I hear all the time is it's useless for me to even try to do anything about this because I've tried everything and nothing's worked. So,
yeah. So that's conditioning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
We know that. Conditioning
yeah.
wants you stuck there because it's perfect. It's a perfect place for you to be stuck.
It
okay.
is. Okay.
So
yeah.
here, and now this is a completely internal process that's going to go on, okay? So
okay.
it's not the kind of thing you're going to say to anybody, all right?
Yeah.
But what you are going to realize tonight is that this guy is a comedian.
Okay.
He's joking. Okay?
Okay.
So for the next...
You mean this other person?
Yeah, him. Yeah.
Okay.
He's a comedian. And he could be a comedian who actually is trying to be funny, and he could be a comedian who is inadvertently funny.
Okay, okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's how, for the next, what, week, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay. That's how you're going to view every interaction. Now, it might be helpful to imagine that he has, you know, one of those clown noses?
Yes.
Yeah, a big
yeah.
red clown.
Yeah, he kind of does, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, that's perfect.
Okay, that's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that clown nose will remind you to view him as someone who's funny. Okay?
Yes.
All right? And so that'll be how the interactions go for the next couple of weeks. And you're going to keep track of it, okay, so that you can report back to us?
Okay. And I will keep track, and I will report back. How the conditioning seems to keep me stuck here is with this constant nothing's going to work.
Oh, yeah.
You've tried it all, and you just got to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's make a line down the middle of your paper, keep track on one side of the comedy routines, and then on the other side of everything conditioning is trying to tell you to manipulate you into misery and giving up. Because, you know, if you left there, oh my God, I mean, it would tear you into little pieces.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you're a quitter, you're a loser, I can't believe you did that, suddenly this guy is not powerful at all, I can't believe that you let him drive you out of here.
Mm-hmm.
That keep an eye on it, write it down just so that you remain clear about what it is, but it's egocentric karmic conditioning attempting to take advantage of a situation. Well, it's actually creating the situation so that it can take advantage of it.
Yes. First, it's telling me all the things that are wrong with him and blah 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 blah, and then it's telling me how I can't do anything about that.
And and then the next stage will be what it says about you. Right now, it's just so you ought to leave.
Yeah.
Right. It's as if it's on your side and it's really trying to protect you against this, because there's just nothing you can do. You're just helpless and hopeless in this situation.
Yeah.
But
as soon as you
turned in that resignation, my God, it would be on you like all of
those images. I've already seen some of that just thinking about it, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not saying you should, because I don't think you probably can at this point, but to the degree that you can, just disregard that. You know, once you get it that this guy is a comedian, you're going to start getting it that those voices are comics as well.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of more in the Three Stooges category.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's for everybody. It's a big part of it, that conditioning gets us to take it and ourselves seriously.
Yes. Yes. And I've looked at that. I've tried to get all the way around that to the other side, and it seems that it just, you know, I'm a firm believer in that, you know, this is serious, I guess.
Yeah.
I keep buying it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we take life very, very seriously.
Yeah.
And which is just really ridiculous, because truly we have to step back such a tiny bit to realize I was not here for darn near forever. I am here for the flicker of an eyelash, and then I am not going to be here for the rest of forever. And I'm not enjoying this experience because
why was that again?
Why was that again? Yeah. I mean, all those other billions of people who have been here and are gone and took themselves seriously, did it do them a lot of good? Not as far as we can tell. So it really is just crazy. It's crazy for us to take. Now, not taking it seriously, I'm not saying that in a, you know, that leads toward any sort of, disrespect or that sort of thing. I'm saying it in a way that says, this is a party, folks.
Yeah.
Let's start dancing. You know, let's start smiling at one another. Let's put the food on the table and invite everybody in. Come on.
Right.
Yeah. Instead of, I have to really think deeply about this. People don't like me. I need to do something, and, you know, I'm going to get old, and I need to save money so that I, and I need to, you know, please.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't have to be this, you know, I mean, we could enjoy.
Oh, every breath in your lungs. Yeah.
Aww.
Every sight that you can see, every sound you get to hear, everything you get to taste and smell and touch and feel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's okay. A big cabaret show. And you have a front row seat. Tap
well,
your foot.
I love this.
Yeah.
I really love this assignment. It's perfect.
Good, good.
Okay.
All right, we'll
okay.
talk to you soon.
I'll talk soon. Thank
right.
you. Thanks
Bye.
A lot. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Angela. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I've been laughing over here.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it really is insane that we are so serious about ourselves. Oh, well. Do you have another caller for me?
Well, we have one more, and we have about 6 minutes, so it's perfect.
Somebody else to come to the party?
Yes.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Oh, great. I didn't think I was going to get on. This is George from Pennsylvania.
Hey, George.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Are you partying like crazy back there?
Oh, absolutely. It's just perfect. What a great lead-in.
Good. What's going on?
Yeah, well, I'm partying here in PA. And it's been great.
Singing and dancing and carrying on?
Yeah.
I happen to know, I mean, I think I happen to know that that is actually literally true.
It is literally true, yes.
Uh-huh.
Singing and dancing and playing and having fun.
Uh-huh.
And feeling liberated.
And connected and grateful.
And, oh, connected and grateful. Yeah, for every breath.
It's just a good deal, isn't it?
It's just the best deal yet.
Yeah,
I mean,
and I think I got a communication from you recently that acknowledged that we're not saying that this is some sort of permanent state and that there aren't difficulties in life and there are a lot of struggles and unhappinesses and all of the same things go on in life that have always gone on in life, and we can keep our attention focused on how good it is just to be here, how much we have, what we've been given, what we have been able to receive. And to live in that place of thank you, rather than going with conditioning into the ain't it awful. And from that place of expansiveness and gratitude, where there are difficulties, we can offer our assistance. Where people are struggling, we can lend a hand.
Yeah, and that includes the internal people. You know,
absolutely.
Our own children that we carry around with us.
Absolutely.
That we can be there for them in that way also.
That's interesting. This new project that I'm pretty passionate about, the Parents and Kids for Kids, there it is, you know, to give to those children inside you that didn't have the life experience that they wanted when they were growing up, to help them have that now.
Yeah.
Which, again, does not make us more selfish. It makes us more
No.
generous.
No, because it's really beyond any concept of self. It's just the nature of things and the nature of life. And I sometimes think that, you know, manifestation didn't have to happen at all. I mean, just existence, just beingness as we are, as are the, you know, what we experience of life, it didn't have to happen, but here we are, it did. And so we have this beautiful opportunity to experience this manifestation however you want to call it, in a body on this earth, in this life, it would be crazy not to enjoy it. I mean, it's so entertaining, and it's just a continuous gift.
Yeah, it's fascinating, it's interesting, intriguing. There's so much to learn, to participate in, to be a part of. And with that, again, lots of struggles, lots of difficulties, which is a part of it.
It is a part of it, yeah. Last week I called in and talked to Melinda, and just wanted to, you know, come out with all this gratitude and appreciation and, you know, just feeling good about life and feeling liberated and all of that, which has just been going on with me for months. And it was amazing the attacks that I got from self-hate after that. It immediately started in on me. And it was just so clear what was happening. And I was losing sleep and it was invading my dreams and creating these old patterns in my dreams, where I couldn't really be on top of it. And it's sort of, and then I'd wake up and I'd have these terrible feelings, and then remember the dreams and go through them and be able to see the pattern for exactly what it was and just step back from it. Mm. Witness it.
Yeah.
And
not take it on, not take it personally.
Yeah.
Recognize
yeah, not take,
it for
not
what
take
it is.
It personally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so key, isn't it? Because conditioning wants us to believe it, to make it about us, to feel that we are unique in this failure to be the right person.
Yeah.
But to get it that, no, this is something that simply exists, and this is the plight of the conditioned human.
Yeah.
And it happens to everybody,
yeah.
whether you can see
yeah.
it or not, whether people are in touch with it or not, whether they're talking about it or not.
Yeah, yeah. You're not especially good or especially bad.
Yeah.
You're just a human being.
Yeah, and this is how human beings are constructed.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
then we can stop giving that self-hate, that separate self, all of our life force, and bring it back to ourselves and to enjoying the opportunity that we have being a human being, being in a body, and being alive on this earth.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
That's good news. Full circle, back to the
yeah.
good news.
Right.
All right. Good night,
okay.
George.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, George. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, sir. Let's do it again next week.
Same time, same place.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.